Hello and welcome, Lucas Makris, statistical consultant. So thanks for joining me today, Lucas. How are you?
Very well, Mike. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
So, Lucas, just to get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? So how did you arrive at your current role of consulting statistician?
I started about 20 years ago after I finished graduate school, and my first position was with Merck Research Labs, and worked there within the clinical development group. I spent about 5 years at Merck, then joined a small imaging company with many applications in oncology. I spent about 3 years there, and at that time I decided to pretty much start my career as a consulting statistician, first in a specialized CRO that I established that was essentially offering statistical services, data management, statistical services for clinical trials.
And Lucas, about when did you first become familiar with Cytel's e-software? And what particular aspects, what utilities did you find useful?
So I have to say I'm probably one of the holders of the DOS version of East. It was that early that...
You are an experienced East user, aren't you?
Yes. And the first application was, of course, because of the sequential designs, and I was supporting a data monitoring committee at that time for a cardiovascular program at Merck. So that was the first introduction. But where it became very prominent in terms of use was when I started consulting. And it was the simulation tool that they provided that in a small pharma or emerging pharma or biotech setting becomes even more important for a consulting statistician to have, because the timing that you usually have to answer the questions are much shorter than what you would have in a larger setting.
You mentioned in an earlier conversation with me that there were key questions that these developers and their stakeholders most need answers to. And they're looking for someone like you, a qualified, experienced, independent assessor. So, you know, assuming that they're still in the planning stage, how does East help you to present them with a choice of viable scenarios? You know, those choices that they need to determine the optimal trial design.
And I will answer that before I want to give you the setting that I'm talking about in the small biotech or the specialty pharma. So in almost, I would say, 4 out of 5companies that I would do that consulting probably would be a single product company that is... has just entered or is about to enter a phase one study. And the interactions that you have, even as a statistician, would be with the chief medical officer and the CEO of the company. Because the first questions that come up are what a development program would look like. And the reason for that is essentially that they would have to go out and attract investors. So the questions on the finances have to do with the size of the program and the length of the program. You have to make a convincing case to very skeptical investors.
So do I understand that, do you actually use East in that real-time scenario that you described?
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially in the early stage where we were not talking about the all the details around the methodology of the design, but we're talking about brainstorming more about scenarios of how to approach the program. that many, many times is a very live conversation. At the time that you present your concept, also you get questions back, which is different in the large pharma setting where, you would present your proposal first to your supervisor, who is another statistician, and maybe to their supervisor, who is another statistician, before they're presented in a large committee, right? There,
a chain of command, if you will, statistically.
Yes. so you're a very, you're one person alone, and connecting with a person that will have to convince a board of directors to make an investment, and obviously the chief medical officer, who is asking all the relevant questions specific to how to optimize the design from different aspects. So this live scenario requires also something that you don't have the luxury of saying every time, let me go back and I'll get back to you in 3 days. So that's one of the need for a software that you can immediately access to give you some answers, is especially when the simulation tool became available.
And Lucas, there was a time when running complex simulations, would require hours, if not sometimes days. That certainly would not be acceptable in today's world.
That's correct. And there's still, I don't want to diminish the aspect where you want to finalize your design, you will run the long simulations with many, many, many different scenarios. What I'm trying to say that it differentiates it East and makes it, for me, a more powerful tool, is that there are still questions I can answer on the spot by accessing the software live there with a simulation that takes only 2-3 minutes to run. So it's that dynamic setting that makes East for me a very powerful tool.
Lucas, I've observed myself how the investment community, the biotechnology investment community especially, has become quite savvy about more flexible, adaptive designs. And I've even found that sometimes developers, investors, may be more aware and savvy than the leadership of the biotech, the sponsor
yes,
company.
Yes, they are. And especially the investment companies that specialize in this sector, they most of the times have a chief medical officer themselves, or a person with extensive knowledge. So you have to respond to a lot of questions, not only why you use the specific design you're proposing, but also why you don't use other designs that they have been exposed to. So it's not only why your proposal is optimal, but why the others are not optimal.
But to go back to the trial sponsor themselves, how can you help as an independent consulting statistician to help the sponsor know if they're on track?
That's a very good question, and the reason I'm saying that is it becomes even more pronounced, the use of East, during the study than I do even at the design stage. In many cases, not in all cases, but the two study quality metrics I'm engaging to with these companies is the study going according to what we had hypothesized? Is it performing according to expectations? Mm-hmm. One of them is accrual indeed. And because in oncology, we're talking about time to event trials in most of the cases, accrual has an impact on the overall length mm-hmm. of the trial that every time almost needs to be re-estimated. If it was a very, very slow start, then the events will even more delay to come in, and companies need to know to what extent they need to compensate in different ways by opening more sites. In other situations, it's like the introduction, let's say, of a different country into the study or a different continent sometimes into the study, because the assumptions that were made for accrual were way off. And that can happen, that has happened a few times, actually, I would say. Well, what's the impact of that? Sometimes the populations are not the same, but mostly with simulations, you try to estimate the impact it will have on the study, this type of change. But in general, you need a tool to assess the performance of the study and how well within the original assumptions is, or how the original hypothesis it is, so that you can have the option to make some adjustments.
I recall 6 or 7 years back when Cytel introduced the R integration, the R code integration,
correct,
to allow East and East users to run R scripts so that you could actually combine those and leverage specific code for specific functions that may have been developed or something that that you may rely on, or maybe the sponsor or the stakeholders may endorse.
Exactly.
So that you can really have the best of both worlds.
Yes, yes. And this is very, very useful, especially in methodologies that have not been fully adapted yet in East. And that makes it even more flexible tool to incorporate the aspects of both. But for the greatest majority of the questions, there is still there's now a lot available within East to address those. Both aspects are definitely very, very welcome.
I understand you have engagements with DMCs, data monitoring committees. Safety monitoring is especially important in oncology and rare disease development, those more vulnerable populations. Does ACE play a role in your ability to communicate, or the sponsor's ability to communicate with those stakeholders beyond the sponsor company and their investors?
Yeah. It's very apart from the standard use of ACE to, especially in sequential trials or even broader in adaptive trials, to use the tools not only to design but to monitor the study. For me, it's important when I'm as a DMC statistician to have something available at the time of the meeting again. And I'll tell you why. Usually the output that is a DMC is given to evaluate the safety or the interim efficacy of a product in a particular study, you get that about 1 week before. And you will do some work, you will do the review, you will do some derivations yourself. But the time that you have with the committee is usually these 2-3 hours that you sit down and you evaluate your findings together. And that's where there are questions sometimes, even from the MDs, the physicians in the committees, of the what-if scenarios, especially in situations where you're ready to make a decision for to alter the course of the trial, either stop it because of futility, stop it because of efficacy, or make some adaptation, right? To the design, something that was in the original plan, but in case some specific events were triggered. So that's where I find it very useful to have something that can answer some questions on the spot. Again, not all the questions can be answered on the spot, but a lot of them can be answered on the spot. if you have something readily available that's different than a SAS code that is more visually pleasing, that you can present to your committee members, to the other committee members. So that's where, for me, the application of NIST becomes paramount. And if you have set up the design already in NIST to examine different scenarios within these designs, or the different scenarios that you have considered, is very easy to do. So that's where I find it very powerful again. Immediately available tool with very easy access to run additional considerations.
So Lucas, we've talked about the various stakeholders, the sponsor company, their financial backers, and advocates. So what about regulators? One of the things that we always like to point out to people is an advantage of NIST is NIST is used and recognized by statisticians at the FDA, EMA, Japanese PMDA, by regulators. So has that been a factor? Has that been an advantage for you in your statistical consulting career?
Yes, it has been. And definitely the impact it has, it's a very well recognized tool that saves you from the effort to have to validate or revalidate your findings. And the reason I'm saying that is when you present a design to the regulators, confirmatory trial design, and you give them the settings based on which you used NIST to essentially calculate the sample size or adaptation criteria, and what would be the impact on the overall study alpha or the performance characteristics of the study. It helps a lot to say, okay, I did my calculations using NIST. I used these particular parameters in this particular setting, or around the simulations, again, using these parameters, because it's then essentially they can go and revalidate it very easily. There are situations where you have to write a code to do something, but even if you do it as the example we gave before, some R code that can be integrated within NIST, that's still much easier than presenting to them a whole new, you know, SAS program where you would do these derivations, because there they would have to examine, you know, in much more detail the code versus with NIST, where they're familiar with essentially just rerun based on the settings that you had utilized. So that makes it more easier for them to validate in terms of what we have done.
And prepares you to potentially answer some tough questions on behalf of the sponsor too.
Absolutely, because they use that quickly to essentially bring back situations or scenario where they think there's more risk about the trial being performing as it's supposed to, and then you can have that exchange in terms of the communications more easily, especially if you're using the same platform, the same setup.
That's interesting, because all the stakeholders have maybe one thing in common. They're all asking what if scenarios, whether they're again, the sponsor searching for the optimal approach, their financiers, advocates for patients, safety monitoring, and regulators.
Yes. The what if scenarios is where we spend most of the time actually at the setup of the study, but also during the study. I think you're phrasing it very well. That's where we spend 90% of our time, examining what if scenarios.
And if you're the man with the answers, then that gives you a competitive advantage in your own career.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, indeed.
So maybe in sum, and at the risk of giving away your competitive secrets, what would you say to other consulting statisticians, the big pharma statisticians and clinicians? What would you say to them if they were considering EAST as to include in their toolkit, if you will?
I started almost my consulting career with that. I cannot envision changing at this point. There may be some other choices, although they would need to be collective across different platforms or softwares. I find EAST a tool that is continuously updated to address the majority of the designs that are used at this point, and a very powerful tool for simulations. And when I talk to my colleagues, the one deficiency out there is to find a quick way to run simulations, because now everybody's asking, as you said, the what if scenarios, and spending your time in programming, especially for these pharma companies, the small pharma companies, is not an option a lot of the times. They need answers much faster than you would have in a very organized setting of the big pharma, where you could spend months before the trial starts to prepare for that.
And certainly, the cliche is true: time is money. But also, time affects negatively impacts the patients, those who will benefit most from new, safe, and effective medicines.
Yeah, the advantage that the emerging pharma and very small biotechs have is their flexibility in adapting to the issues, or ability to move more swiftly of what would have been, even a lot of regulation in the big pharma companies. And I'm saying that because I worked in both and I had seen it. So the fact that they are so flexible, and the fact that they can be so fast in making decisions, as I said, you're working actually with the people that make the decisions on the spot. There's no, hierarchy there to follow. That means they want quicker answers. That can be good, but that can be dangerous at times, because they make some decisions pretty fast. But whatever the case might be, they need input from you much faster than in a setting that we find usually in a bigger farm.
And these developers are not operating in a vacuum. Not only, of course, are the considerations of the patients involved, those afflicted, but they're often competitive with competing medicines and treatments that may be sponsored by a much bigger company.
Absolutely.
I would imagine that, again, someone like yourself, armed with a tool like EAST, can really give them a competitive advantage.
Yes. And it's something that I will tell them, even I will mention to them in advance. There are times that they believe that they can skip certain steps because they're smaller, they're more, you know, agile and
nimble.
There are certain processes that need to be followed, you know, the what if scenarios and the simulation that you have to run in the study. And I almost tell them we can do these parts. We don't have to be a big company to do this. We can do this, and we have a tool to do this. We don't have to skip it just because we don't have the department of 20 statisticians or you know, access to a university consulting center. We can do a lot of these things just with the software that's available now.
And it must be an advantage that East isn't a black box, that it is openly validated, you know, both by throughout industry, but also by regulators.
Yes, I'll tell you the additional advantages that they see how East is used even by the company to offer similar services. So it's not you know, just a tool that was developed by someone that is unknown. These are well published researchers out there with established names. So if somebody, and I'm saying that because I have used that, if somebody asks me, you know, well, how do you trust the software? How do you know what its legacy? You know, I can refer them to the website. I can give them the examples of all the publications that have been out there by people that work at Sitel, and that makes it a very you know, very valid tool without too much effort. Valid tool in terms of the eyes of you know, the CMO or the CEO.
Yeah, that's a real tribute to the people behind East here at Sitel. Our statisticians, developers, programmers, software engineers, and quality assurance team, they all combine in their efforts to produce, again, a tool that can be trusted. I think you used the word trust.
Yes. That's very important, because the answers you give at times are not very likable answers. So immediately the question of trust comes up. You can give references that it's been used actually by FDA, because you write it even in your protocol that you used East, with the understanding that FDA can validate your calculations. So it's it becomes a very it becomes very easy to validate that you're using the right tool. And I know this is not an exercise that you need to do if you work for Bristol Myers or Merck or Pfizer or the big pharma, because it's well known there. I'm talking again about the small environment, the one physician and the one CEO or the board of directors or the investment group. That's where you have to have quick answers about the validity of the methods you're using and the validity of the tools you're using.
Well, Lucas, this has been very enlightening. I certainly understand better now how a consulting statistician like yourself plays such a pivotal role, and you really need to be able to cover a lot of ground. Answer questions that would take layers of disciplines and bureaucracy. So what are you looking forward to in your continued interactions, your career and your usefulness to your clients?
Well, the first thing, I'm glad the new version is coming out. There's some more powerful coming out. I have to tell you, the most important attraction point to me was the fact that if there was a continuous development of this tool, because if I look back how I used yeast, you know, 20 years ago and how I use it today.
On a floppy drive, right?
Yes. There's a very big change. And, you know, and I don't mean that to take a shot at other tools that are out there, but a lot of them have remained static because with a small tool, you can cover still a good number of, you know, designs or standard designs. For me, the ability now, especially with the simulator, to answer questions that before you wouldn't even ask, provides for a very powerful platform to educate your clients about risks that they take, which is not, it's above and beyond a sample size calculator. That's where this software has emerged from a sample size calculator to a decision tool, an information tool to a company to make the right decisions.
I like that, a yeast as a decision-making tool.
Yeah.
So Lucas, people who want to find out more about yeast, Sitel's yeast software, certainly they know to go to www.sitel.com. How about yourself? How can those listening find out a bit more about yourself and your services?
The easiest way is in LinkedIn. My first name, Lucas, L-U-K-A-S, last name, Makris, M-A-K-R-I-S. And from there, fairly accessible via email and by phone.
Well, Lucas, this has been very enjoyable to get to know you better. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I hope those listening have learned more about yeast utility. Again, not, you know, beyond big biopharma companies, but how someone like yourself, a consulting statistician, can make the most of yeast.
Thank you. Thank you again for the opportunity. It's I've meant to, for a long time to present a case of how consultant statisticians in the emerging pharma and biotechs or the small companies operate, which is definitely different. And I can tell that with certainty since I have experienced both environments. And so this is a great opportunity to make that known. Thank you.
That's great, Lucas. Again, thank you for joining me, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the conversation as well. Thank you.